The cloudy mental images of the group of little kids playing in the park were almost as distorted as their cheering voices of glee. At the seat of this restricted consciousness were many other images that were so discombobulated that there was no logical cohesion to any of these mental pictures, other than the fact that they were images from a distant past. But those little children in the park apparently held some intense importance, because they kept coming back and didn't stay hidden within the subconscious realm for very long. Then there were the smells, tastes, sounds, and most of all, the exquisite sensations of pain. Everything seemed to complement these sporadic episodes of insidious pain, even down to the coppery taste of oxygen-depraved blood, down to the pungent odor of a gangrene wound that simply refused to succumb to the body's remarkable healing mechanisms, on up to the sound of ringing ears initiated after being bludgeoned to a bloody pulp by a sadistic cop's steel-plated billy club. Indeed, this pain was all-encompassing and just as debilitating, but those cheering small voices were helping Rasheen Smith regain his place in the world of the living, because he'd saw himself among these groups of mental images, but was certain it wasn't him per se, but was sure it was someone from him, of him, like him, made from him, and therefore it was him. From this dream world he'd concluded it had to be his newborn son. Thanks to these potent images, and the innate wisdom of knowing he had a child that needed him, Rasheen felt a powerful spiritual-like force pulling him. Despite his dream world suffering, he summoned his mind to awaken, and to his utter surprise he awoke. He opened his matter-laden eyelids to a world that was almost as dreamingly cloudy as the one he'd just retreated from. Before his mind completely registered that he was in a neatly kept room, the throbbing agony transmitting from his gut saturated his entire body with a new pain far more furious than the afflictions his mind dreamed about moments ago. When the tears of realization grabbed hold of his mind, he cried hard and long. That night that brought him to this place consumed his memory bank, and Lamech's status materialized. His baby brother was dead. He killed his little brother because he wanted to run his fucking mouth instead of step into his business. If he had started shooting the minute they stepped foot out of the limo, Lamech would still be alive today. The tears that rolled from his eyes were as genuine as racial profiling in America. The pain of this loss was even more overwhelming than the stomach pain, and nothing else seemed to hurt more than knowing, if he had took care of the situation correctly, Lamech would still be on this planet blessing folks with inspiring rap lyrics. Then, the status of his other loved ones appeared. His mother, forever gone, Jack Mack, dead and stinking, Dirty Ricky, pushing up daisies, Jock King, on lockdown, Candy, prison-bound, and Camilla, locked up. Misfortune seemed to be everywhere. It took only seconds to realize he might have been luckier he hadn't awakened to all this crippling anguish. There was no question he could already feel his inner mental workings rearranging themselves in many new and unanticipated ways. As Rasheen continued examining his surroundings, he saw that the hookup with C. Moore was the real deal, if ever there were such a thing. This had to be Dr. Myers' crib, he concluded as he instantly realized the pain in his gut was so ferocious it was causing his head to feel like a little madman was inside his cranium, going berserk with a sledgehammer on anything in his path. It was obvious he needed some painkillers immediately, and began looking for one of those nurse-calling remote control devices like the one he had when he was inside Woodhall Hospital that time he was shot before. Moving his head ever so slightly, it took seconds to determine there was no such device. Then he wondered, could he talk? His throat was dry, and the saliva he was trying to generate wasn't helping a bit. The minute he tried to activate his voice box, a fire exploded in his throat, and he received his answer when the ah-ah sound slid from his mouth, but the razor-cutting pain that came with it confirmed it wasn't worth it. The sudden, overwhelming sensation of thirst appeared almost as if the mere act of trying to speak flicked on the thirst component in his mind. Oh no, not this shit again, he brooded in agony, because it was just like before. That thirsty feeling was no motherfucking joke, he said inwardly, as soothing images of ice-cold drinks swirled inside his mind. Then the thought of having another shitbag made him swear up and down that he was going to find a definite way to avoid getting hit like this ever again. As he settled back down, an instance of glee grasped his heart, for the first time when the image of the bullets he pumped into Killer Kato's bitch ass appeared. It felt good, but the pain of losing Lamech made this victory bittersweet. When he felt the tears about to start back up again, he moved his mind to another topic. His money. As Rasheen tried to count all the huge sums of money he had stashed all over the place, and realizing he had enough of it to find a nice little hiding place, snatch up his son and Camilla, and chill the fuck out, he heard someone enter the house. The sound of rattling brown paper bags came from down the hallway outside the room and announced to Rasheen that someone had done some shopping, and he was praying whoever it was had some goddamn painkillers in those bags of goodies. Rasheen swallowed hard, and realized that the reason his voice box was on fire was because he hadn't used it in such a long time, and probably because it had to be slowly awakened. Despite the pain he experienced moments ago, he took a deep breath and tried to speak again. Through the scratchy pain, a hoarse whisper oozed from his mouth.
Yo, who's that out there?
He could tell whoever it was heard him by the sudden stopping motion. This person was now approaching. When he saw the dark-skinned, heavy-set woman that looked like the epitome of a Jamaican nurse aide, he gave her a hard stare.
Mr. Smith, I see you finally decided to join us.
She said with a heavy Jamaican accent as she came right up to the bedside and began checking his IV and other tubings connected to him.
My name is Chairman Dillon. You can call me Big D like everybody else. I've been taking care of you for the past 2 weeks and child, you are a handful, I might add.
Rasheen saw she gave him that knowing expression laced with an omnipotent grin that said she knew some private things about him. He didn't have to conclude that they were personal since upon reading between the lines of her statement that he was a handful said it all.
Where's Dr. Myers?
Rasheen's voice felt like it was getting better with each word he spoke.
And what's up with Willie?
Dr. Myers will be home soon. Soon.
Big D grabbed Rasheen's wrist and checked his pulse.
Your Willie friend, I haven't seen him in a few days, but he did leave a number with the doctor.
She gently laid his arm down, pulled the white sheet off Rasheen, and began inspecting his stomach wound. The cool air that caressed Rasheen's body was truly stimulating to all of his nerve endings, and despite its soothing sensation, it surprisingly made the pain flare up even more, as if the pain was competing with the good sensations, making perfectly clear that it was the head honcho in this show. Rasheen spoke through the gray cloudy of suffering.
You got any strong painkillers? I can't take this pain.
Oh, yes, I do, child.
Big D flipped the sheet back to its original position.
Me sorry about that. That should have been the first thing I asked. Yeah, be right back.
She switched out the room. When she returned with the glass of water and a handful of pills, and after Rasheen greedily gulped down the pills, he said to Big D,
You said I've been asleep for 2 weeks?
That's right, child. The doctor said you were in a mild coma.
I need to look at the news reports on TV and some two-week-old newspapers. Can you help me out?
Big D smiled broadly as her Big Biscuit's cheeks turned into big buns.
Mr. Smith, if you're trying to find out what's going on, you can talk to old Big D and I'll give you the whole rundown.
Rasheen sighed frustratedly.
I just need to check out a few things.
They said in the papers that they're still looking for a suspect who left some blood at the crime scene, but they still haven't mentioned your name, Mr. Smith. I've been keeping a close eye on this and so has the doctor.
Rasheen felt a terror gripped him. The thought of her knowing he was at that grisly murder scene didn't sit right with him at all. When he saw Big D's fake smile, he hoped and prayed this woman didn't spaz out and try to turn him in before he was able to get out of this bed-ridden state he was currently locked in.